MZTV.
If there's only one gospel in the New Testament, otherwise known as the Greek scriptures, then why the big argument about circumcision? I love it when I make sense. Oh, feels so good. And why did Paul have to go to Jerusalem to explain his gospel to the chief apostles? Welcome to MZTV. This is Martin Sender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. And we're going to look at some simple things that if your mind isn't clouded with tradition, will show you the truth of there being two different evangels or gospels or good newses in the New Testament. You see, people commonly think that there's one gospel in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, it's the same gospel, but now Jesus is in charge of it. It's all the gospel to Israel. And those members of the nations who have the great misfortune, according to tradition, of not being Israelites, well, they just hang on for dear life, eat the scraps at the table of Israelites, hope for the best, try to grab on to an Israelite as tight as they can so that they can get some blessings from the favored nation. And if they do, they have the great privilege of being second-class citizens in the 1,000-year kingdom. Because if there are not two gospels, ladies and gentlemen, then non-Israelites can only be second-class citizens in the kingdom. I wonder if Christians know about this, because Christians are wannabe Jews. They love the Jewish gospel. They love James. Oh, James, who mixes law with works. That's as near and dear to them as a pet poodle. And they stroke it, love it. Oh, that's a cat. All right. What is it? Oh, they love James. They love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They love anything to do with law. But I wonder if they realize. But see, because of all that, they're probably fine with it. They would love to bow down to Israel. They don't care. But at the same time, they talk about going to heaven. That's the thing that boggles my mind. If they're so enraptured and in love with the Jewish gospel, they're not going to heaven. The meek shall inherit the earth. Don't they all try to be meek? Meek and mild, just like Jesus? WWJD. What would Jesus do? He would come down to earth and stay there and be a chief priest in the order of Melchizedek. That's okay. Forget about what those people think. We know the truth is that there is a gospel specifically for the non-Israelites. Oh, it makes beautiful sense. Because God is gradually displaying the multifarious wisdom that he has had since the beginning of the human race. He's just unfolding things. Why would we think that a gospel that calls for cooperative works would be the end all? Ah, but then he does advance and he says, well, I'm going to put my law in your hearts. Okay, that's great. Put it in your minds. I'm going to supernaturally cause you to do law. That's great. That's progression. But then, God could still be accused of being a racist. Why? Because he was a racist. Favors one nation above all the other nations. Anybody who's not an Israelite, sorry about your luck. You're a second-class citizen. And this is the last view we have of an Israelite-type arrangement on the New Earth, even on the New Earth. The 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem contain the names of the apostles, Israelites all, and the gates are the names of the sons of Israel, naturally, Israelites all. And who are the kings in the New Earth? Israelites. So this is progress, but it's still a superior nation over other nations. And God has not yet shown us the fulfillment, the fullness of everything he has. Namely, grace. See, because Israel was a favored nation. Listen to me, favored. So God does favors for a favored nation. What's the big shock? But with the nations, God gives amazing grace to people who are last. The last shall be first. What do you think about that? Who is last all through the scriptures? The goyim, the dogs, the pigs, the unclean ones, the nations. So back to the circumcision business. It seems so simple to me that there wouldn't be any arguments about rituals, approved Jewish rituals, if there was only one gospel. Yet Paul writes, our apostle, the apostle of the nations, in Galatians chapter 2, thereupon, after the lapse of 14 years, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also along with me. Why are you taking Titus? Why is this being mentioned? You're going to see. Now I went up in accord with a revelation. Why would you need a revelation? You already have a gospel that's been revealed. Paul, you don't need a new revelation. You're carrying this Israel gospel to other people. There's nothing new about it. The Israel gospel's been around since Abraham. You're just taking it to another field where you're more comfortable, where you're very well-versed in Greek culture and Roman culture. So we're going to send you off. Peter's busy. Peter's tired. He's a large man. He smells bad. Not a good representative, really. I mean, So we're going to send you. You're clean. You're articulate. You're intelligent. And we're going to have you take the same gospel. But what's this? After 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up in accord with a revelation and submitted to them the evangel which I am heralding. Submitting to them? It's like Paul has his gospel wrapped up in a scroll, right? And he says, I want to show these people what I'm teaching. What do you mean, what you're teaching? Aren't you teaching what they're teaching? Hell no. Paul's teaching justification by faith, not works. Paul is teaching justified apart from works of law. Paul is teaching no circumcision, no baptism. And Paul is teaching a celestial destiny of the saints. Paul is teaching blessings directly from God apart from the mediation of Israel. Other than that, it's the same gospel. So Paul unrolls his gospel. He submits to them the evangel which he's heralding among the nations, yet privately to those of repute. Why privately? Because it was so radical, it was so crazy, that I think Paul sensed it. If I have any chance at all, I got to go to the big boys. I got to go to Peter, James, and John, the guys who at least walked with Jesus. These other hangers-on, they're likely to be more incensed and offended. They would tend to doubt more because they're not as educated. But at least these boys would be educated. So he went privately to those of repute, lest somehow I should be racing or ran for naught. Well, if you have a legitimate gospel, Paul, why would you be worried about racing or running for naught? This reason, Paul did have a unique gospel. But the majority of the Jews of those days, they were believers in Jesus Christ, but they were zealous for the law. They hated Paul. They heard wind of what he was teaching. And the biggest thing that offended them the most was he was teaching blessings for the nation apart from the mediation, apart from the priesthood of Israel. He was doing away with that. Israel was fine with nations coming in as long as they came through them. They had to come through Peter. They had to submit to the Jews. Please accept me. Please accept me. Well, what do you think, boys? And they'd all take a vote. And it's like, okay. So Israel loved being the channel, being the funnel through which these people had to come, but not anymore. So they hated Paul, see? And the majority would have killed Paul. And Paul desperately needed, that's what he means by I ran in vain. Because on Tuesday, I'm going to be killed. And nobody else knows this gospel like I do. It's still on its kind of early stages. And if I die, the thing's going to go away. But I will die on Tuesday. If these other radical Jews have their way, the circumcisionists who still believe in Jesus, they're Christians, they're Jewish believers in Christ, they're, as we would call, completed Jews. But they're zealous for the law, as it says in the book of Acts, chapter 21, I think. They're zealous for the law, so they would kill Paul. That's what Israelites do. They're jealous as hell, and they kill people they don't like. That's what they do. But at least Peter, James, John were mature. They walked with Christ. They've learned to be meek and mild and humble. Not these other guys. Privately to those of repute. And then Paul says a startling statement. Besides, he submits the gospel to the leaders. Like, why would he have to do that if it's the same gospel? Now, he says this, not even Titus, who is with me, being a Greek, is compelled to be circumcised. What? And verse 4, he says, yet it was because of the false brethren who were smuggled in, who came in, by the way, to spy out our freedom in Christ, the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, that they should be enslaving us. So they wanted to enslave Titus. They wanted to circumcise Titus. They wanted everybody to be baptized in the name of Jesus. None of this was happening. And so, again, the simplest thing. Why the controversy about circumcision? If it's the same gospel, there would be no controversy. Paul would say, look, Titus, you weren't circumcised on the eighth day, but we can make up for that. We'll circumcise you now. Just like Abraham did to all his servants. Whack, you're good. Whack, you're good. Whack, you're good. Whack, you're good. Cutty, cutty, cut, 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 cut. You're all good now. But the Greeks didn't need that. Oh, you can't imagine how radical that was. Concerning these false brethren, Paul says in verse 5, to whom not even for an hour do we simulate by subjection. A crazy rendition of that verse. Simulate by subjection. Wacko translation, I'm sorry. Not the best. We don't submit to these losers for an hour, that the truth of the evangel should be continuing with you. Paul's writing to the Galatians, with you. Now, from those reputed to be somewhat, Peter, James, John, the leaders, those with reputation, Paul says, what kind they once were is no consequence to me. God is not taking up the human aspect. For to me, these of repute submitted nothing. Peter, John, James submitted nothing to you? How could it be? They're the leaders of the circumcision gospel. They walked with Jesus Christ when he was on earth. They submitted nothing to you? You're either the most arrogant bastard on the face of the planet who can't take instruction from the chief apostle, or you have a different evangel. Well, the answer is laid out in the next verse. But on the contrary, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision, and knowing the grace which is being given to me, James, Peter, and John, who are supposed to be pillars. I'm supposed to be pillars. Ooh, that hurt. Supposed to be pillars. Supposed to be pillars. Oh, Paul, you're killing me. You are killing me. I can't get over that. Supposed to be pillars. They give to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we indeed are to be for the nations with the gospel of the circumcision, yet they for the circumcision with the gospel of the circumcision, only that we may be remembering the poor. So, they're kind of beaten here, Peter, Cephas, and John. They're kind of beaten. Paul's obviously got some other thing going, and they had given up on trying to baptize any of Paul's converts, given up on it. They went back to the rabble, Peter, James, and John did, and said, keep your hands off these guys. They're legit, okay? Keep your hands off of them. I don't want to hear any of you, I don't want to hear stories of any of you killing any of these people, especially Paul. If I hear that you've killed Paul, you're going to make me very upset. And I might have to exercise my apostolic authority and strike you dead. Yes. And the pallbearers will come in and they'll take your body away and let that be example to the rest of you. Anyway, they convinced the others, like, don't touch these people. And the only way Peter didn't touch Paul, the only reason, I'm going to end with this, okay? The only reason is because he saw the vision of the sheet coming down with the unclean animals. Peter, kill and eat. Lord, far be it from me. I've never eaten an unclean animal. Everything on this sheet is unclean. I know. Do what I say. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. This prepared Peter for Paul. Peter went to one guy of the nations his whole career. Cornelius. Whoop-de-frickin-doo. Wow, you're supposed to go to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You don't see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit formula with Cornelius. No. In fact, Cornelius did something weird. He started speaking in tongues before he was baptized. That's freaky. You're supposed to be baptized and then do that. But Cornelius, being stubborn as he was, started up with it without being baptized. Peter's like, whoa, ho, hurry up and baptize this guy. This is unprecedented. Blah, 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 baptize him. And there you go. After that, Peter didn't go to anybody else. Well, I thought that was the signal from God that Peter's supposed to go to the nations. No, that was the signal from God that some strange man was going to approach them named Saul, who had formerly ravaged the ecclesia of Jesus Christ, and he was going to announce that he was taking a special evangel to the nations. And Peter would have probably run him through with the sword right then, except Peter says to himself, Peter's got the sword ready to go. Oh, yeah, taking a different evangel to the nations, huh? No circumcision, no baptism, I'll be damned. And then right then he goes, oh, shit, that vision, yeah, the vision. Don't call unclean what I've declared clean. So Peter looks at Paul, thinks about the vision, looks at Paul, thinks about the vision. Okay, this is of God. Peter needed that for Paul. That wasn't a signal for him to go out among all the nations because he never did. Reached one guy. Great job, Peter. But he wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to get exiled to Babylon, the kingdom of the Israelites, the Abrahamic covenant kingdom. It was supposed to go in advance. It was supposed to be withdrawn for a period of time, and Paul was coming to the fore. And there's the book of Acts in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. Israel starts high, starts descending, and the middle of Acts, around the middle, sort of, kind of, Acts chapter 9 through 13, suddenly we see the call of Saul, and now the nations are coming up, 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 and Israel's going down, down, down. The fortunes of Israel goes down, 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 because the kingdom is receding, because of the time of the nations. Secret administration has come in, and Paul's people are flying high. No baptism, no circumcision. And they can eat all the bacon they want.